God, man, manifestation. The Bible, as well as Mary Baker Eddy's writings, indicate clearly that God is all. There is no other entity that is greater than God. She states that God is all source and includes all manifestation. In other words, everything that exists, all existence, is a reflection of God. What does she say about man and God? There are 16 books that are termed Mary Baker Eddy's other writings. And one of those is named Christian Science versus Pantheism. And on page 4, she answers the question about God and man when she states, God, not human devices, the preserver of man. God, Spirit, is indeed the preserver of man. Then, in the words of the Hebrew singer, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. This being the case, what need have we of drugs, hygiene, and medical therapeutics, if these are not man's preservers? By admitting self-evident affirmations and then contradicting them, monotheism is lost and pantheism is found in scholastic theology. Can a single quality of God, Spirit, be discovered in matter? The scriptures plainly declare, the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. The Word. What then can matter create, or how can it exist? Frederick L. Rawson was one of the more advanced students and successful individual involved in healings through the practice of Christian Science. And he stated over 100 years ago that one should make a flat denial of anything that is not true. He has a topic in his book, Life Understood, which is entitled, There Is No Matter. So if one is grappling with a belief of matter, of life, truth, and intelligence, or substance in matter, of course, Mary Baker Eddy states in the Scientific Statement of Being the denial of that in the first sentence by stating there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Mr. Rawson states to just flat out say, there is no matter, or there is no mortal mind, or whatever seems to be the dominating belief. And of course, the belief in matter is probably dominating in every single discord that exists. It is probably the predominant one. And also, he suggests that we say flat out, there is no material man. Man is spiritual. Or, there is no matter. Man is of the substance of spirit. The Bible states in Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean, in the only. So in other words, the only creation is by God. She also defines God as good in the glossary in chapter 17. And she states also that God is the great I Am. I Am being all capital letters. So it's not that an individual is I Am this or I Am that, or an event is representing this or that, or a relationship, a business, or anything else. If we are going to look at the spiritual view, which is the only reality, then we must think about everything that is good being a reflection of God. Mary Baker Eddy, in the letter entitled The Secret, which is attributed to her, states that she stops several times a day to be sure that she is on track about only thinking, talking, taking actions that are based on perfection. If one is going to be thinking about man, then it is obvious the orientation has to begin with the source, which is God. And in Genesis chapter 1 again, verse 26, it states, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So, if we reflect God, we don't have to be concerned about being subservient to any form of anything less than God. God is it. That's the only thing we have to be in alignment with. And if we're in alignment with God, then we are in alignment with all good. Every relationship, every event, every activity, every thought, speech, and action is going to be beautiful, perfect, flawless, lively. It's going to be principled. It's going to be absolutely following truth. A pure motive, pure consciousness, and of course, pure love. Love is termed as the plan and design of all existence. Principle is termed the system and structure. And love is really like a lubricant. Love is required in order to make everything else operate smoothly, without friction. That's part of the plan and design. Doesn't matter how perfect the plan and design looks on some kind of a drawing that one can visualize, it's not going to work without the element of the lubricant of love. So everything that one is involved in, whether we are talking about thinking of an intelligent or a knowing or a wise way of considering something, if there's no love involved, there's going to be problems. There's going to be friction. There's not going to be harmony. Could have a perfect system and structure, but if there's no love, there's going to be friction. We want our life to operate like one of these enclosed glass structures that shows something inside with action. Maybe ball bearings hanging from the top of the cubicle and swinging back and forth. And they do it indefinitely because there is nothing that can restrict their movement. There's no friction. There's no resistance of any kind whatsoever. That's the way we need to be thinking. That's the way we need to be operating. And love enables that because it removes all of the friction, all of the restrictions. Any blockage is absolutely dissolved when love is applied to the situation. Chapter 12 in Science and Health is entitled Christian Science Practice. It begins on page 362. And what would one think would be the very first topic under discussion? Would one realize that it was the event of Mary Magdalene entering the house of a highly respected man named Simon, a Pharisee, who was entertaining Jesus of Nazareth, a man that walked in sandals, that likely had dirty feet when he entered the home because of dirt roads and so forth. Well, this narrative indicates that Simon neglected his honorable guest, Jesus. And it was the custom in those days to wash the feet, probably have servants do it, of guests that were visiting. But he failed to do it with the greatest man that ever walked on the globe. But Mary Magdalene entered the home not only to wash the feet, but she had oil that was an expensive oil, and she dried his feet with the hairs of her head. There's a lot of symbolism that could be researched and talked about regarding that whole incident. But the thing is that she, meaning Mary Baker Eddy, begins the chapter on how to practice Christian Science with the story of love. The love that this reformed woman that had a colored past, not one that would have been respected, And she had so purified her consciousness that she was recognized by Jesus as already forgiven. After all, who is the only one that can ever forgive? It's not a man or a woman, a priest, rabbi, or any other religious type person. There's only one. And that is the divine principle love of God. In other words, it's not an individual. It's not even God. It is the qualities that one must align oneself with, and then they're automatically shedding any marred image or reputation of the past because they have been transformed. So they are a different person. They are a different individual. They are a different entity. They are now the reflection of the one infinite perfect God, of the substance of spirit. They are a reflection of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. They are not a sinning mortal man that committed the various things that they may have done as a, quote, human fake replica of reality. They're the real deal. They're not a fake. The fake is gone. The real man has appeared. So he is no longer saddled with a different individual. Now, obviously, if he has done things against other people or humanity, then that needs to be corrected. In other words, one can't just spend their life being sinful and hurting other people in whatever way. They could be robbing them. They could be killing them. They could be just thinking badly about them. Jesus indicates that our thoughts are as impactful as our actions. And we're guilty if we are just thinking evil about other people or thinking about doing an evil act. He makes clear that that is evil. Maybe you didn't kill someone or rob someone or injure someone physically, but he classifies that as being equal to doing it. So there probably isn't anyone that anyone knows, including themselves, that doesn't have some skeletons that need that need to be cleaned out. So just an evil thought. And we've all had them, or we would be walking on water from inception. In another reference in Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy states that we are constantly bombarded with suggestions of evil. So it is a full-time guarding of thought that has to be done. We have to pray ceaselessly, which to me means that we need to be making sure that we are doing our best to perform spiritual acts in everything we do. They must be intelligent and wise and knowing actions. They must be spiritual. In other words, getting thoughts off of the belief that there's life, truth, and intelligence in matter, and getting them on the right line of thinking that spirit is the only substance. So we must be thinking, talking, taking actions in a spiritual manner, keeping conscience clean, keeping our motive clean. Mary Baker Eddy is quoted from the Blue Book, which was assembled by Richard Oakes, of recorded statements by Mary Baker Eddy. This is on page 222. She says, "Remember to keep your own doorstep clean. Always keep your medicine chest in order. The greatest blessing you can bestow on anyone is to know God governs him. It is more difficult to demonstrate over the personal sense of a patient than to heal the disease." And who is the patient? Our own thoughts, our own consciousness, our own motive. And what is the medicine? She says, always keep your medicine chest in order. Well, keeping it in order, that is principle, system, and structure. Medicine is clearly defined as being truth. Truth. Truth is the remedy for error. Mary Baker Eddy defines soul as sense, and specifically spiritual sense. And on that same page in the Blue Book, she says that sight is spiritual discernment. So we need to be filtering. The topic of this recorded treatment is man manifestation. So it's God, man, and manifestation. Or really God, which includes man, which is God's manifestation. So if we're going to be looking at an individual, whether it's ourselves or someone else, then we need to be looking through the lens of spirit, and we need to be doing that filtering with our vision. Are we looking at the spiritual man? Jesus saw the perfect man, while others saw a sinning mortal man. We need to be like Jesus. As stated, Mary Baker Eddy quoted him as being the greatest man that ever walked the globe. How about hearing, spiritual hearing? Well, that means we're understanding what we're seeing. It's spiritual understanding. Feeling, she defines as divine consciousness. Now, consciousness is defined as truth. When someone can't quite explain what is wrong with something, but they say, "I have a feeling that something isn't right," well, that's the divine consciousness that is coming into play. And the same with smell. She defines that as intuition of character. So are we open to the pure filtering and analysis of the character of the whole situation that we're dealing with? Or are we getting sucked into the suggestion of a bad smell? Are we looking for the perfect man? Are we looking for perfection? Or are we being a victim of not filtering? And the last one is taste, which is relish of truth. It's like the icing on the cake. You know, we've looked at it, we've listened, we had a certain feeling about it, we've smelled it to check it out, and now we're finally going to put it in the mouth, and we're going to really give it the final test. How does it taste? The relish, that's the relish, that's the icing on the cake. Are we thinking about man, ourselves, anyone else, in a light that is less than the way these spiritual senses are describing the real man? If so, we must make a correction. When asked about the most efficient way to practice Christian Science and be successful, she says to study the letter and to imbibe the spirit. So we need to be studying the books, studying her writings, studying the writings of other ones that have been great messengers that have expanded on some of the things that she refers to in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She encouraged others to write about Christian Science, indicating that it is so vast that it's not a matter of just having one textbook, but people need to do research and explore and report what has been revealed to them. She told Laura, one of her right-hand people that lived in her home at Pleasant View and then at Chestnut Hill, she said, "I've hidden it so well that if I hide it anymore, they never will find it." And what is she referring to? In the early 1900s, I think it was around 1903 or 4, she totally rearranged all the chapters in Science and Health. And when she was finished, it was into a structured system. And she refers to it as system. That is quoted on our website. By the way, the website that includes all these various references that are indicated is the name of MBE, for Mary Baker Eddy, Institute.org. MBEinstitute.org. And all of the references from some 60 plus authors, thousands of pages, and a large number of MP3 recordings are all available for free. We certainly invite anyone that feels that they have gained something from the publications, and these are all in PDF format or MP3 format for downloading, not printed books, But we encourage anyone that feels they've gained enough from it to make a donation. We certainly appreciate any donations that are made. We do maintain a full-time programmer, and we often have another person that is part or full-time. These are outside contractors who are the only ones that are ever paid. Everyone else is a volunteer, but they are paid. And we have an outside contractor that will help with documents, parsing them, dividing them up. We've divided up all of science and health into individual subtitles. All of the subtitles, hundreds and hundreds of them, probably thousands. Just chapter 18 on fruitage, there are 485 different topics there, and they are all divided up fully indexed. Here's the text from that reference where I said that Mary Baker Eddy indicated that we are constantly barraged with suggestions of error, evil. And it is from page 403 of Science and Health. And it's under the subtitle, which is titled Errors, Power, Imaginary. You command the situation if you understand that mortal existence is a state of self-deception and not the truth of being. Mortal mind is constantly producing on mortal body the results of false opinions, and it will continue to do so until mortal error is deprived of its imaginary powers by truth. And that's a capital T, meaning God, which sweeps away the gossamer web of mortal illusion. Gossamer means very fine. So in other words, it's not easy to penetrate. It covers every little crevice. Every little peephole is covered with a gossamer web of error. And she follows that in the next paragraph. She says, the most Christian state is one of rectitude and spiritual understanding. And this is best adapted for healing the sick. Never conjure up some new discovery from dark forebodings regarding disease and then acquaint your patient with it. And as was already suggested, our patient is our consciousness, our own thoughts. It's not the guy that lives next door. It's not the friend that called you on the phone that wanted to tell you about all their problems. It is our own thought. If someone does call you up or come to your home or wherever you are and talks to you about things that are problems, we have to filter that before it goes into consciousness. We have to realize as they are talking to us that anything that is unlike God cannot be true. We have to be like Frederick Rawson indicates, states clearly, we have to deny it. There is no matter. There is no material man. There is no sin, sickness, disease, death. There is no discord. Whatever it seems to be that comes to thought, we have to say nada. There is none. It doesn't exist. And then we have to explain, as Mary Baker Eddy states, the reason why. And I've been giving some ideas here and quoting the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings. The Bible clearly says man is made in God's image and likeness. Mary Baker Eddy says God is good. The Bible says God is spirit. Spirit is flawless. It's pure. It is totally transparent. The Indians indicated when they saw a beautiful lake that it was the smile of the Great Spirit. It was reflecting all of the landscape around it. The water was calm. They saw it as perfect. That's how we must see ourselves and everyone else. It's recorded that Mary Baker Eddy was having a discussion with one of her students. And she says, "Are you a Christian Scientist?" Happened to be a man. And he said, "Well, I've taken class with you. I do my best to study and live Christian Science. What do you mean, Mrs. Eddy?" And she said, "When you go down the street and you see a discordant condition, no matter what it is, anything at all that you're not seeing as perfect, as godlike, what do you do about it?" He admitted he wasn't a Christian Scientist because he didn't do what he was supposed to be doing. He wasn't seeing the perfect man. He wasn't seeing the perfect event, situation, or whatever was the problem. He wasn't taking an active step. He was not taking an active step to reverse the suggestion, and he was accepting it as part of life, part of experience. We cannot do that and be a Christian Scientist, because a Christian Scientist is supposed to be praying ceaselessly. In other words, practicing the pureness of the Christ consciousness every single moment. Not submitting to anything that is imperfect. It doesn't matter if you are trying to work out of a imperfection of whatever. It could be since birth, or you're maybe trying to help a friend or someone that came to you for Christian Science treatment. Maybe they were born, or they have a child that was born with something that was considered to be imperfect. Anything at all. Doesn't matter what it is. Or we have experienced, or someone else has experienced, an accident that caused a problem that is not healed. Whatever it is, doesn't matter how little or how big. Mary Baker Eddy says, "Here a little, there a little." We need to compound the good. Doesn't matter how small the difficulty seems to be, we need to attack it with full force. And we heal one little thing now, we heal another little thing some other time, and that builds up to making the compound man, the perfect man. The perfect man is built with elements. We have to have it in consciousness. We have to reflect every little thing in the correct way in order to build the perfect man in thought. She never indicates that there's going to be all of a sudden a great transformation. She indicates in so many different places that it is step by step. And we must remember that the symptom that may be obvious is very likely not the problem. The problem is probably concealed. It could be a universal belief. It could be a thought that we've been carrying around unconsciously that is festering. Error tries to mock truth. And it can get so close to it that we believe that it is the real deal, the real McCoy. But it's not. So we have to let the intelligence, the wisdom, and the knowing of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind penetrate everything we are doing. We have to open up. Must be humble. Einstein, after he read Science and Health, I don't know how many years ago it was, but I'd say it was probably in the 30s or 40s, because his friend was on the Atomic Energy Commission that was doing research on the atomic bomb, and everybody on that entire committee except his friend, his name was Underwood, Dr. Underwood, everybody else met their death as a result of the radiation from being exposed to it in their research. And his friend Dr. Underwood was the only one that survived, had a complete healing. And that was one of the primary factors that accelerated Dr. Albert Einstein's interest in Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And he made some very profound statements. This is on our website also. And there was a professor out of a university in California that wrote a pretty extensive letter about Dr. Einstein and Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. Anyway, Dr. Einstein stated, and this again is quoted on our website from the main menu, or you can go to the author in the main menu and just click on the E's and go to Einstein. And he said, "Blessed art thou." He even capitalized it. And he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy. He said, "Blessed art thou, because everything that is in this book." He said, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. 80 years ago. So he was probably referring to either when she published the textbook in 1875 or when she discovered Christian Science in 1866. Anyway, he said, imagine Because they had been working on trying to figure out what the earth is made of in breaking this atom down. Quantum physics. Was first discovered around the turn of the century, about 1900. And they spent several decades trying to figure out what it was all about. Because as they kept breaking down the atom into smaller elements, they came to the final conclusion that there was no matter there. But it was the consciousness of the people that made it look like it was something tangible. So when Mary Baker Eddy stated clearly there is no life, truth, or intelligence in matter, all is infinite mind, he is saying she discovered this 80 years ago. 80 years ago. And also remember, or maybe you don't, not familiar with it, but women could not vote, they could not own property. And of course, in Jesus' time, when he was on the hillside, you know, preaching to his crowds, they didn't even count women. They would say, well, there is 4,000 here and 5,000 there, plus women and children. So she was fighting even being recognized as a person that was intelligent. They thought all the intelligence belonged to men. And now, probably as many women are running large corporations as men. Mary Baker Eddy upset the world because everything that they thought was true was being turned upside down. It was being realized very slowly, being acknowledged that life has been an illusion, fantasy land. Mr. Rawson is one of the few that has stated, in fact, maybe the only one as of that time, which, as I mentioned, was early 1900s, probably between 1900 and 1910 or so, where he stated that life is like a film. In fact, back in those days, the films were silent. They didn't even have sound or color. So he said, it's like a film. Where are we in this predetermined history of ourselves? Are we right now? And of course, this is all based on the belief that what is now called DNA predetermines our source, our existence, and our future. But Mr. Rawson proved through his expertise as both an electrical engineer and a chemist, because people came to him, companies came to him to solve problems in those two fields that they couldn't solve. And his reputation was he had solved every problem that had been presented to him. He proved by applying the principles of those two professions, of which he was an expert, that through Christian Science, one actually changes the DNA. Now, that term wasn't used back in, 100, 110 years ago when he discovered this, but he was able to measure the chemical elements in the body, and he could see that they were actually changed after successful Christian Science treatment, which means that the future of the individual, as well as the present, was permanently changed. And he's also the one that discovered how to have retroactive healing, so that not only was the present changed, or the future, but the past. He was able to have healings be effective prior to him being contacted of the need for healing. That again is on our website. Just go to the R's for Rawson, R-A-W-S-O-N, and you can find it under both Life Understood and Healing or Treatment by True Prayer. Those are the titles of the two books. Well, he has many other books that we have, but the retroactive healing is covered in those two books. He took a squad of men out to war, World War I. They came back without a scratch. He doesn't indicate, but I would venture to say they didn't fire any shots or kill any of the people. I've never seen anything where he wrote about that. But it was obviously a very significant healing. I don't know what his position was, but I'm sure he was an officer that had a lot of men reporting to him. Everything he did, he excelled in. So I'm sure that his responsibilities were substantial. If we're going to think about man, we have to be thinking about God, because man is the reflection of God. It doesn't matter what the problem is, whether it is a child that is just born, whether it is a child that the mother is having a difficult time with before birth. It doesn't matter what the problem is, or any time after birth, in any phase of the life. It's the same approach. We have to deny that there is any truth to imperfection. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter what the name is. And as indicated, we have to make sure we're looking at the big picture and not just a symptom. There's records of various people coming to Mary Baker Eddy for help, whereby she stated to them that these were practitioners, her students, that were in the healing practice, and they would have a case they couldn't heal, and they would come to her for advice on what to do about it. And she said, well, you're working on the wrong problem. I mean, she had such a transparent ability to see the thoughts of others that she would know what the problem was. And so she'd say, well, the problem is not what you are working on, which is this, but it is that. She'd tell them what it was. She'd say, that's what you've got to remedy. Apply the truth to that as the remedy, as the medicine for that, because that is what is causing the trouble. And she says that we need to discover what the error is, the specific error, in order to heal the problem. And again, don't mean to be making so many references to one author, but again, it comes in to thought here about Mr. Rawson, the book that I mentioned, one of the books called Healing or Treatment by True Prayer, that has 1,315 different ailments listed, and everything is on the website, separate paragraph for every single one, that he tells how to heal it. He gives the counterfact. Mary Baker Eddy says we must find the problem and we must explain the reason why using the counterfact. He has done spiritual research to define what the counterfact is to all these 1,315 ailments. So he's done 90% of the work for us because he defines the problem and he defines the solution. And all we have to do is make it our own. We can't just repeat his words. We must map out a systematic schedule of learning all that we can learn. And it's continuous, it's infinite, so it's not like there's a beginning and an end, there's only a beginning. The end is continuous forever. So the door is open to go into the advanced age as far as we want to delve. But if you know nothing about the synonymous terms and what they mean, then you certainly have to get started. And Helen Wright, she and her husband founded the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, and she wrote many books, but one of them, which is my favorite, on the synonymous terms for God of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, she has an individual chapter in the book called Your Divinity Revealed. And each of those seven chapters, well, she has more chapters, but seven chapters devoted to the seven synonymous terms. And she really has a wonderful skill of writing and entertaining while she's writing. In other words, it's an enjoyable reading. It's not like reading an encyclopedia. And there is so much to learn from that book about the seven synonymous terms for God. So, in making it our own, we need to continuously improve our understanding of the synonyms for God. And we need to understand that they all connect together, just like the roots of the mammoth redwood sequoia trees up in the northwest of California in the U.S. where the roots are shallow on these huge trees that are 300 plus feet. I think the biggest one is like 350 or 60. Anyway, the roots are very shallow on these huge trees. One of them has the center carved out where you can drive a car through it. And it's still alive. Anyway, and that was a long time ago. I haven't done any research for a long time on it, but I drove through it. And the roots are shallow, but they bond with the roots of the neighboring trees into a cluster. And just think about that. The one tree is dependent upon another tree. Just like the reflections of God are dependent upon treating our neighbor as we would like to be treated. Love our neighbor as ourself. Because we cannot isolate ourselves. If we are going to reflect God, we can't divorce ourselves from another individual that also must reflect God in order to be able to survive the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. So we all have to be brethren. We have to love our neighbor as ourselves, just like the roots of the trees bond together to make one unified, beautiful cluster of the greatest trees. So anyway, the study of that book by Helen Wright is very, very rewarding. And it helps you realize how everything works together. The intelligence of mind is effective for love. To enlighten you with intelligent ways to be loving. And intelligent ways to reflect the spiritual senses. And life. And principle. And everything else. There is no end to God. God is infinite. God is only a three-letter word which represents the qualities of God, but it's an easy way to refer to all of the qualities of perfection, which is the foundation of all existence. God is all in all, and there is nothing that can dilute, deflect, interfere with, stop or reverse the activities of the one infinite divine principle, God. God is all-inclusive, leaves no one isolated, is omnipresent, omni-effective in solving every possible discord that could be confronting one of his perfect ideas. He is here. He is everywhere. The goodness of God is omnipresent. Amen.